Would you pray with me? Lord God, we recognize tonight that there is no one like you. Father, you are other than us. We are not holy in our own selves, but you are holy. It's your very character. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers us, Lord, but we're very aware, as Isaiah was aware, that we are people of unclean lips and we live amongst people with unclean lips. Father, as we look at our life and then we look at your glory, your brightness, God, your perfection, God, it causes us to tremble. Father, we come tonight asking that you would touch our hearts. Father, as we think tonight about the fear of God, Father, for the one tonight who has an overwrought sensitivity, Lord, to their sinfulness. It's hard for them to feel forgiven through Jesus Christ. They feel so down and they feel so discouraged, Lord. I pray that tonight they'd be lifted up and see, God, that you have forgiven, that condemnation has been washed away. But Father, for the rest of us who probably struggle more with the other side of it, to where we never think about the fearful, awesome aspect of your character and your nature, Lord, I pray that you'd put us flat on our faces tonight. I know you've put this preacher flat on his face in preparation. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We pray that the one here tonight, or ever how many it is, God, who is yet to come face to face with the Lord's holiness and their own unholiness, we pray that tonight that they would, and that they would look and see Christ, who has made a way for them to be cleansed and made whole and made righteous, and be forgiven, to have the wrath of God extinguished toward them. Father, we come begging with hands open, asking you, Father, to provide. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight is when we finish up our series, Facing Our Fears, and we've looked at well, this will be our fourth message in this series. Pastor Tom preached on the fear of the future. I preached on the fear of suffering. Then Pastor Tom last week picked back up with the fear of death. And then tonight, to wrap things up, we're going to talk about the fear of God. And so the title of tonight's message and the big question that I want to try to answer with you guys tonight is simply this: whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? And if you'll allow me just a moment to let my inner nerd sort of bloom and blossom here for just a moment. If you'll allow that for just a minute, check out this video clip.
You will be. You will be.
Let's try that one again. Let's start over from the beginning because we missed what Luke said. I wanted to hear what Luke said because it's important.
I'm not afraid.
You will be. You will be.
In case you don't know, that's Luke Skywalker from The Empire Strikes Back talking to the Jedi Master Yoda on the planet Dagobah. All right? You know, that's where Yoda went after the Clone Wars and the purging of all the Jedi when they were trying to kill them. The evil Emperor, Palpatine, a.k.a. Darth Sidious. All right, that's enough of the inner nerd. It's over. All right, okay, I'm just going to let that pass. But just think with me for just a moment from that clip. Think about what you just saw and what you just heard. Luke right there reminds me of the attitude that I often see in the culture around us. Think about this for a moment, particularly concerning God, concerning the living God. He says, I'm not afraid. And I see a lot of people around us who say, I'm not afraid of God. Are you kidding me? As if there was even a God to be afraid of. Or maybe we have this sort of attitude, and this is more of the folks in the church probably. I don't fear God. I've been saved by Jesus Christ. There's nothing to fear anymore. And like Master Yoda there, with eyes wide open with surprise in that clip, that reminds me of Scripture, which unequivocally, unashamedly says, you don't fear the Lord? You will. You will. Friends, we live in a day and age when the fear of the Lord is being ignored. Now, that's especially true of the pagan sectors around us, right? The pagan culture around us. But sadly, that's also true of the Christian sectors, even the evangelical sectors of Christianity, like we in Eastwood, we're part of the evangelical sector, of course, the subsect of Baptists and all that stuff. But in our modern notions of God, think about this. God has been stripped of characteristics and attributes that are less appealing to fallen humanity. In a sense, he's been emasculated. He's been defanged. He's been emaciated. He who sits high above the circle of the throne of heaven has been brought down low in our modern minds. In a sense, he's been made out to be a hippie who doesn't judge anybody, man. I don't judge anybody. You know, and everything's just all right, just peace and love and all that stuff. He's been fashioned in so many modern notions as like that graying grandfather who just pats you on the head and says, good job, honey, no matter how badly you did. He's been cast as sort of the Santa Claus who brings the goodies and never puts us on the naughty list. There is nothing to fear anymore. Nobody turns face to face with their collective American concept of God and says, woe is me, for I'm undone. Ben Simpson, are you listening? Eastwood, are you listening to me tonight? Brothers and sisters, if we conceptualize God in our minds in a way that doesn't match what he's revealed about himself in the Bible, then we have created an idol and we're worshiping a false God. So my prayer tonight, and in my life, I never get up and preach a message unless I preach it to myself first, unless my toes have been stepped on first, and I promise you they have been as I've studied and as I've prepared. But my prayer is that tonight we will smash some idols to pieces and bow before the living God. That's my prayer. And I believe that can happen even in the middle of summer. Even when everybody's on vacation. Even when life is supposed to be laid back and beach-like. I believe the people of God need to hear a message in this very fashion. At least this person of God does. So turn with me in your Bible. I hope you brought your copy of God's Word. Turn with me to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 1 will be the text that'll frame the message tonight. Psalm 27, verse 1. And when you get there, go ahead and stand, if you would, please, for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 27, verse 1. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version, the ESV. The Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's the reading of the Word of God tonight. Please be seated. My question tonight to you and to me is the same question that David asked there in Psalm 27. Whom shall I fear? And first, the first answer is that Christians should fear the Lord. Christians should fear the Lord. Just let me read some passages of Scripture with you. And if you're taking notes, just write these down. Because I don't have time to sort of flip through it, but just listen to this. Let this sort of roll over you tonight. Psalm 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 33, verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Proverbs 3, verse 7. Proverbs 3, verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I could go on and on with passages from the Old Testament, particularly here, that directly commands us to fear the Lord. And then we could turn to narrative after narrative where the Lord manifested his presence amongst his people in either a vision or in real life, and it scared them nearly to death. Do y'all remember that in Exodus 20? Moses is about to go up on the mountain to receive all the tablets and the statutes and all that stuff. But before that ever happens, God says, Moses, bring them all together because I want to talk to them directly. And God directly, with his own voice, speaks to the people, laying out the Ten Commandments. And it struck so much fear in the people that they turned to Moses and they begged him in verse 19 of Exodus 20. They said, speak to us, Moses, and we'll listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die. Guys, all over the Bible, when God shows up, people wet their pants. You know what I'm saying? It scares them to death. It just happens, man. God is fearful. If he were to show up right now and manifest himself here, I don't know what would happen. I mean, you know, I might pass out. You know what I'm saying? God is fearful. Now, just in case you have inside of you welling up a little bit of resistance to what I'm saying, because you're saying, well, preacher, you're just, that's just Old Testament stuff you're talking about there. That's just old covenant stuff. Don't miss what the Old Testament says. Again, if you're taking notes, write these passages down. Matthew 10, verse 28. I read this at the opening a minute ago. Just the last part. It says, fear God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And that's not just to those who are lost. I mean, he's saying that to Christians. He's talking there to the disciples. He's saying, don't worry, don't fear man. Fear God is what he's saying there. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Listen to what this says. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Philippians 2, verse 12 says, work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. That's right. How about 1 Peter 2:17? 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people, love the brethren, fear God, honor the King. How about Revelation 14:7? Revelation 14:7, and an angel said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory. Now, friends, we must never forget that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And so if he was fearful, if he was fear-invoking in the Old Testament, then he was fear-invoking in the New Testament times. And guess what? 2014, he's still fear-invoking. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You might be saying, but preacher, the Bible says, at least my Bible says, you might say, over and over again, fear not. And you'd be right. You would be right. The Bible does say in so many places, fear not. But when you look at the passages, so many of those passages are in reference to men, right? Just like a while ago, don't be afraid of people who can kill the body. Be afraid of God, it said, right? And so think about that where it says fear not. It's saying don't be afraid of people. Don't fear mankind. And we're going to talk more about that here in just a moment. But what about those other passages that don't really fit that mold here? The other passages that tell us to not fear. And when they say don't fear, it's in reference to God. Those passages have to do with judgment. Okay? we're not supposed to fear judgment from God. I think of a passage of scripture like 1 John chapter 4. Go there with me just so you can see this. And this is a sort of an extended passage. 1 John chapter 4. We'll begin in the 13th verse. 1 John chapter 4, 13th verse. First John chapter 4, 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us the Spirit. This is God he's talking about. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that the love of God that God has for us, God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence. And notice this, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And then notice here again, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So I want you to notice here, especially in that passage, that fear is connected with judgment and it's connected with punishment. And the good news is that you and I who have turned and trusted Jesus Christ, there now is zero condemnation for us. Amen. Praise God for that. We will never face the judgment of God. We will never be condemned by God. And so we should have no fear of future punishment for sin. God's not going to take us and throw us out into hell. So in that sense, you and I should not fear the Lord. We're no longer his enemy, right? We're on his side. We've laid down our arms. We're no longer rebels. We're now servants and saints of God's. But nevertheless, God is still God. And we should have a holy fear of him. Think about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. I believe they were on God's side. I believe they were baptized believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they wanted to follow Jesus, but they sold some property. And in a moment of sin, they lost their fear of God for a moment. And they lied to the apostles about how much they had sold it for. And instead of bringing all the money, they kept some back for themselves. And this husband and wife, what did God do to them? He killed them dead. Now, I bet every single one of us here tonight, every single one of us here has done something equally sinful or worse than what they did. Think about that the next time that you're tempted to sin. Guys, God is a holy God. Holy fear. I pray that a holy fear would come over the people of God. I pray that Eastwood would tremble before the Almighty. He is not to be trifled with. He is not to be mocked. He is not to be shortchanged. That's why the Bible says over and over again, like it says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It says in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says in Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. And like it says in Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. So Christian, whom should you fear? Fear the Lord. and do His good pleasure so that you may live. Let's turn to the second point now. The second point, whom shall I fear? Christians should not fear any created thing. Christians should not fear any created thing. I'm not going to belabor this point because I believe that in our brains, we've got this concept down. The last one, particularly given our culture, we struggle with that one, right? Because we swim in waters that conceptualize God differently, okay? But we grasp in our brains anyway the concept that we as Christians should not be afraid. We should not fear any created things. Now, we have trouble living that out in our lives, but we nevertheless easily understand it. Christians should not fear any created thing. And that's really the point of Psalm 27, verse 1, the text that I read at the beginning. That's really the point that the psalmist, that David, is driving at. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And the answer to the rhetorical question is that there is no thing, there is nobody other than the Lord God that we should fear. Now, why is that? Why? Because the Lord is greater than all of these things, y'all. Amen? He's greater than kings like Pharaoh. He's greater than fire, like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's greater and stronger than serpents, like with Paul. He's greater than demons, like with the demoniac who had the legion inside of him. He's greater than death, like with Jesus in that tomb, when on the third day the tomb burst open and Jesus walked out of it. He's greater than all of those things. He's greater than that. He was greater then, and He's greater now. Remember, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What or whom do you fear, though, other than God? If we were to take a survey, I bet that list would be big. I'd have a bunch on them. Just me and in my natural constitution. My daddy always said, "Boy, you big enough to go bear hunting with a switch, but you're scared of everything." He always used to say things like that, you know. I remember, you know, I grew up out near Iva Baptist Church, and I lived in a house, and my family lived in a house, and my granny and great-grandmother, they lived in the house next door to us, but there was about a football field or two between us, and they had a big security light down there. But at nighttime, when I would go down to granny's, you know, I would start out, and I'm like, "Come on, Dad, go with me." He's like, "No, you go ahead. Goodness gracious, boy, you big enough to go bear him with a switch." And so I would take out, and Dad would always, just to get a big laugh, step out and go, and I'd, you know, take off running, you know. I just, in my natural constitution, I'm more of a skittish person. And maybe you're here tonight, and that's you as well. I was telling the mission team when we're heading out to Southeast Asia, we met for lunch a while back, and I was telling them, you know, when I go on a mission trip, mission trips are always acts of faith, but for me, every step is, "Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you." We have to be that way because in my natural constitution, I'm fearful. Maybe you're here tonight and you're that way as well. Listen to what God says. God says this to us as He said to Israel in Isaiah 41, verse 9 and 10. Listen to what the Lord says to help us with our fear. Isaiah 41, verse 9 and 10, the Lord says, "I've chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." Man, what a promise from God. Because our fear of God, when we fear God, we're freed from the fear of everything else. Everything else. And I pray that this will burn deep into our spirit so that we will actually live out what we believe. And right here is one of those things, right? Again, in the last point there, we need to sometimes change sort of what we believe. We need to reform God in our brains, right? But in this one here, we believe it. We just got to live it. And so by faith, I say to you, Christian, do not be afraid of any created thing. We should be the boldest people on this planet. Amen? Absolutely we should be. But you know what? We let the smallest things, the smallest fears, keep us from doing what God would have us to do. Whom shall we fear? No created thing. But what about those here tonight who have not turned and trusted Jesus Christ? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you've not trusted Christ, you've not turned from sin and trusted Jesus, first let me say, I'm so glad that you're here. This is the place that you need to be, because the answer for what you're longing for is right here. You're going to hear it. I'm so glad that you're here. But what about you? Whom should you fear? And that brings me to my final point. Non-Christians should really fear the Lord. Now, friends, listen to me very closely. If you're here tonight and you've never turned from sin and surrendered your life in faith and love to Jesus, then you are in serious danger. I'm not saying that flippantly. I'm not just being a preacher acting up here. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. You're in serious, grave danger. You are one breath, you're one heartbeat away from standing before the living and holy God of the universe. And you're covered in your trespasses and sins. It's all over you. You might not even realize it. But the Bible says that you've sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, and God in His holiness can do nothing but condemn you to punishment in hell forevermore. And it's there that you'll endure what your sin deserves, namely the everlasting, fiery, furious, miserable experience of the wrath of God forevermore. Guys, so many people, they say things like this, that when they think about hell, they make light of hell, and they say things like, boy, I can't wait till I get to hell because I'm just have a beer with my buddies. You fool. There will not be the slightest sliver of pleasure in hell. Not the slightest sliver. I say to you, as Jonathan Edwards so famously said a few centuries ago, it's a wonder that hell itself didn't burst open through the earth and swallow you up on the way to the church house this very evening. I want you to feel tonight the precarious and dangerous situation that you are in. And I beg you to take a look at your sins and fear the holy God to whom you will answer. And then I plead with you tonight. I plead with you tonight. Turn and run to Jesus Christ in sorrow for your sin and the hope of forgiveness, because He is the only one who can shelter you. He's your only hope. He's my only hope. At the age of 17, I ran to Christ and took Him as my Savior and as my Lord. And I was cleansed and I was sheltered from the wrath of God. It was extinguished on my life. You see, nearly 2,000 years ago, the sinless Jesus was hung on a cross, and there He died to pay for the sins of every single person who will call on the name of the Lord for salvation. And so I say to you all right now, the doors of mercy are flung open wide, and the beckoning bell is ringing, calling all who will come through them to enter in and find mercy. As it says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, "Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And so I say to you tonight, do not delay, because your sin has stored up God's wrath for the day of wrath. And you never know what day that will be released. I'm not trying to scare you. I mean, that's not my goal. I mean, I pray that it does scare you, because it's supposed to scare you. But I'm simply, my desire is simply to tell you lovingly the truth. And so while there is still grace and mercy to be found, would you run to Jesus and be saved? Tonight, right here. Don't leave. If the Holy Spirit is calling you, if tonight you see your sin and you see what it deserves, and then you look at Jesus and you see that he paid, that you could be saved, don't leave here tonight without Jesus Christ. Oh, non-Christian, listen to me. How much you should fear the Lord. But I say to you tonight, come. Come this very hour, so that the fear of condemnation can be wiped away and your hellfire extinguished. I pray that we would all fear the Lord. For those of us who are in Jesus, we would not fear condemnation, but we would fear him as a holy, almighty God. He is our heavenly Father, and he is fearful and worthy of our fear. And for those of you who are not in Christ, oh my goodness, I pray tonight that you would fear the Lord. Don't leave this life without Jesus Christ, because he is the only shelter that God has given. He's the only name on heaven, or in heaven and on earth, that God has given by which man can be saved from the wrath of God that our sin deserves. And so I pray tonight that you would fear the Lord. And so my prayer tonight in conclusion is just very, very simple. May you wisely fear the Lord and live. Would you pray with me? Father God, I pray that tonight didn't fall on hard hearts, Lord. I pray that tonight that the Spirit of the Lord would awaken, that God, you would show us where we have fallen short, that you would show us how every sin put a stripe on the back of Jesus tonight. Father, would you move us, Father, to fear you rightly. And Father, one of the ways that we show that we fear you is to obey you. And so, Lord, if there are any issues in our life right now where we're failing in obedience to you, God, that is an indicator, that is a warning flare, a warning flag, God, that we are lacking in proper fear of the Lord in that area. Lord God, I pray tonight that you would drive us to fear and then drive us to holiness. And Father, I pray for the one who's yet to come to Christ. Father, I pray when we begin to sing that they would get out from their pew, that they would come forward, they would not hesitate, but tonight, this very hour, they would come and confess their sin before God and turn from it and take Christ in faith and love as their Savior and Lord. Father, would you move in our midst tonight, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you stand with us tonight?